Are you ready to be in the spotlight? Are you ready to share your story with the world? Well, Snails with No Shells is where you need to be. Available on all digital platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. Beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. That's my only rule in this room. All right, and we're going to get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an amazing group coming to the stage this evening. I have some amazing women and some wonderful men. Let's get into it. I'm excited. I cannot wait. Here we go. My first guest, Lauren Stokes. Hello, hello. Next up, Jelante Mann. I thought I need some sound effects. We have Dr. Naaman H. Potts Jr.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
All right, and we have Allison Mitchell.
That's the one.
Yes, Michael A. Baker Sr. And last but not least, the Queen Bee, the phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. Words can't even describe this woman. Really. Debra Juniper Fry. Hello, hello. Thank you, everyone, for being on Snails with No Shells. We are delighted, honored, and all that good stuff. How's everyone doing?
We're doing fantastic.
And so this is part two. This show. So you guys are my second group of men. So we're going to continue the story. But I do thereby want you to let us know what this is all about. While we have all these like amazing, handsome, outstanding men on this platform.
Well, we have all of these amazing best-selling co-authors on the stage because a little over 2 years ago, the Lord gave me the idea to do a book, Grief Through His Eyes, and all of the co-authors were supposed to be men. But I was too afraid to do it when he gave it to me a little over 2 years ago, put it up high on the shelf. And October of last year, when he woke me up at about 4 a.m, gave me the entire layout and the green light. So I started running with it at that time. And, you know, I just wanted to give our men a chance. Women have so many anthologies. We have so many opportunities to do everything, but our men don't get a fair shake to have a chance to come to the table, to share their heart, and for the world to hear them speak in a collaboration in this wonderful anthology, Grief Through His Eyes, Seeing Grief from His Point of View.
Awesome. That's beautiful. I know we talked about it when I interviewed you on the show last time. Sure. And you mentioned this project. I couldn't believe it. I was just I was so happy, you know, because men definitely need an outlet to be able to, you know, talk about their feelings and their emotions. Like I said, let's normalize men being human beings.
Yes.
Feel, you know, awesome. They feel, mm-hmm. they hurt, they grieve, right?
Yes.
All right, and wait just one second. I got to show the book. Grief Through His Eyes.
Yes.
The visionary is Deborah Juniper Fry. Grief Through His Eyes. And these are all the amazing co-authors.
Awesome.
That I'm interviewing this evening.
Awesome.
All right, I love it. Let's get into it. All right, Jelante. You're up first. Yes. So tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, first, Ms. Martin, thank you for having me. My name is Jelante Manns. I am from a little town called Roanoke, Virginia. I now live in Hampton Roads. I am a law enforcement officer. I am the father of almost said two, now three children. I have a newborn baby girl. And I'm loving that. I also am the owner. New business called Man's Work Enterprises. I'm a DJ. I DJ all types of music. So
that's awesome.
Awesome. Okay, Lawrence.
Good afternoon or good evening. Thanks for having me. My name is Lawrence Stokes. I am originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm retired Navy. I now live in Dallas, Texas. I have been married 37 years. All my adult life. I have two sons. I have six granddaughters and one grandson.
Oh my.
And I can't begin to tell you how blessed I am to be here. So thank you very much. And I have just come on as a contributing writer for On It magazine. So or to try my hand at that as well.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. All right. Yes, I'm a contributing author to On It magazine as well. Yes.
That's awesome.
It is. All right.
Everybody.
Hey. Yep,
my name is Naaman Pot. Quickly, let me thank all of you. Well, let me thank you, Deborah Fry, for this. Bringing me to this point, and to you, Ms. Martin, thank you for having me tonight. Again, my name is Naaman Potts, and I'm a husband of one wife and father of two, and been married all of my adult life to Lawrence, you know, and have two fresh little grandbabies on the way as of Monday. So, you know, awesome. I'm stepping into that room. Thank you. And so that's me, a pastor of a nice little church in Virginia Beach. Just grateful to God to be here.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you. All right, Allison, you're up next.
Hello. Hello, it's me. Thought about you. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm from Florida, a little small town called Bartow, Florida. I was born and raised there by way of Boston, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Virginia, back to Tennessee. And I've been married 36 years to my sweet wife, Jerry Mitchell. And we have one son. And I have two other grown daughters, but we have one son and one daughter in love, Whitney Fry Mitchell, who we love. And so we're residing here in Tennessee, and wherever Whitney and Jonathan goes, we will go when the baby comes.
Okay, Michael.
Hello. I'd like to say I'm thankful for Dr. Deborah Juniper Fly. I made her a doctor.
Yeah.
For this great opportunity, and thank you, Miss BJ Martin, for you know, having us on and having me on tonight. I've been married for 40 years. I have 3 children. I have 16 grandchildren.
Wow.
I pastor Greater Works Community Outreach Ministries in South Virginia, where we have the largest food distribution in the southeastern district of the Tidewater area. We stay very, very busy, and I'm blessed of God, and we are changing the world one soul at a time with this great book.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to go back to Jelante. Jelante, tell us about your chapter that you wrote in the book.
Okay. Well, the title of my chapter is called The Fatherless Champion. And as I always explain, when I think of a champion, I think the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. And he was a champion, not just in boxing, but in his life. And he had to face a lot of things that he overcame. So I talk about, you know, the relationship that I wasn't able to have with my father and how I overcame that. How I became a champion.
Okay. So how was your experience during this process of writing?
It was fun, really. When I first started writing, I just wrote so much, and I was like, let me take that out. Because it kept pulling so many emotions and so many feelings. It made me want to talk about so much more, but I had to kind of chime it in to get my point across. And but I loved it. It made me want to talk more about it and talk to more people about it, because I've never really opened up about that subject, or, you know, growing up without a father, a lot of men don't. So I appreciated it.
Awesome. I love that. All right, Lawrence.
The title of my chapter is called Who Told You It Was Grief? And I titled it that because my story started at such a young age. And at that age, you know, no one could frame it for me, because no one told me how to grieve at that time. So that was the only way I could write it. With that title, that's the only title I came up with. I thought long and hard about other titles, but that's the only one that stuck, and it kind of was appropriate for my story.
Okay, and so can you expound on that? Like, what was it about?
It was about the loss of my parents at certain time frames of the age that I was. Without giving the book away, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the experience itself, it allowed me to go back to a time that I rarely revisit if I don't have to. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, in writing it, it exhausted me. I was extremely exhausted because I had never put it on paper before. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it, bits and pieces of it, but to kind of follow a particular timeline, I've never put it on paper. And it didn't take me long to write it. It took me about probably 3 hours to write it. But the toughest part was the first paragraph. And once I got past the first paragraph, the rest of it flowed along with the tears and everything else. But once I completed it, I had to take a nap because I was completely exhausted. But I was grateful that I did it, because I wasn't going to do it. But Deborah and her husband Mike just encouraged me, and they said, "Well, come on, you can do this." So I'm glad I did, and I didn't let the opportunity slip through my fingers.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. I do. I do. All right, Dr. Naaman, tell us a little bit about your chapter. You're on mute. You're on mute.
All right, here I am. Okay, mine is Anguish and Regret. That was the name of my title for my chapter. And I wrote that because for me, it was twofold. Part of what I wrote dealt with being in a situation of racism and not being accustomed to being in a situation such as that. Growing up in my neighborhood, I would want to say 98% African-American. And I had probably about 3 white families on my block. And they were a part of those that were already there when we moved in. But I had no problems with them. But it was the other side of the bridge where I actually found my trouble and never knew what grief was all about, even though I had seen people pass away. I've seen people cry. I've cried, but never understood until now what the word grief really meant. Even being a son of a pastor and going to many funerals in my life, never understood what this word meant until we got to writing this book. And I found out that, hey, grief is about anguish, is about anger, bitterness and pain, is about sorrow. All of this summed up in this one word, and even regret. And I found that there's some things I wish I could have dealt with the way I wanted to or could have. Yeah. Wish I could have helped people that were going through their struggle of grief, but I didn't know how. So that's when my regret comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's how I based the chapter.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very, very. Thank you for being so transparent. Because that's definitely what we need. We need men, beautiful men like you, willing to, you know, just stand in front of the world and just tell the truth and just be honest. We need that. It's okay to be a man.
Yeah.
And grief and be and cry and be honest. You know what I'm saying?
That's outstanding. That's
beautiful. Yes. Wow. Ooh. Okay, Allison, it's your turn. You smile. You know I was gonna call you next.
My chapter is called Arise. I like the word arise. I put that in there because I looked the word up and it means to get up. Mm-hmm. It means to spring up. It means to be stirred. It means to be awakened. Arise from trauma. There were several traumatic experiences that happened, being put out in the streets without, you know, and I can talk about it sometimes. And like now, I feel emotions welling up. I can talk about it freely at times, and then there are times I get really emotional when I think about, you know, losing possessions, losing a house, losing a car. And, you know, what I didn't even put in the chapter, we were homeless for like 3.5 years. We lived with 4 different families. That was tough. That was really tough living with other people. And it's very emotional. And the loss, just the loss. And we went through it. I saw something not recently, and it said the way to get through the storms is by getting, you get through your storms by what you know. And I would just add, know who, the four W's, know whose you are, who you are, what you have, and what you can do. If you know those things, if you just knew one of them, you could get through those storms, you can get through the setbacks. And, but I think one of the things about my chapter, and I heard Coach talk about this, and I heard her say it, and now I'm saying it, that when someone reads the book, they will see themselves in the chapter, in the book, one or more chapters. And I want to just, what I did was, there were people that sent me comments, and can I read some, just, I'm just going to read just a few things from the comments. Someone said, I enjoyed it thoroughly, and this is, and it said, but your thinking is exactly my thinking. I've been through grief also, but I knew where my strength came from. That was from a classmate. We're getting ready to celebrate 45 years, and she lost her husband. Mm-hmm. And another person said, I had no idea that been around me. They said, we have more in common than you know. And there's another thing, see people, and then they went on to talk about their experience and how God brought them through their loss. I sent it to my cousin, sent a book to my cousin. She said, I finished reading a heartfelt, inspirational, sincere article. We all have a book in us. Your article, she said, I really want to read your book because your article, your chapter is a preamble to your book. Another person said again, I had no idea to say, I went through this back in 1994. And they mentioned the part when I talked about my wife and how she said something that really changed my thinking. And he said, I thank God for my wife too. She never left me and never stopped loving and praying for me. And this one I got, this call I got, it just touched my heart. And I got to read it the way she said it on the phone. She said, I just finished reading your book, Arise from Trauma to Triumph. It is amazing. It really is. I felt like I was going through it. You are a very good author, but this story should encourage anyone. And right now, people are going through so much. This is really going to help some people and let them know there is mess in your message, but don't let it get to you. This is very encouraging. And that's what I want. I want from my chapter. I want people to be impacted. I want people to be inspired. I want people to be encouraged and transformed by the chapter. So I just want to say, Antoine Fisher went back when he told his abusive foster mother, you tried to destroy me, you know, loss and grief tried to destroy me. He said, but I'm still standing. I'm still strong, and I will always be. And I hope that when people read my chapter and other chapters, that they will be strong and get their strength from God.
Awesome.
Beautiful. I love it. Whew. Wow.
Great stories.
Yes. Great chapters. Yes. Yes. And we haven't even actually read it. I hadn't read it myself yet. And I'm already feeling the energy and just, you know, the love in the room already. Wow. That's amazing. Amazing. All right. Michael, you're up next.
Yes, ma'am. My chapter is called The Locked Door. It's about a little boy. My grief and trauma happened when I was young, about 12 years old. And I tell the story about how I encountered and found my mom in a certain position. And well, bottom line, she passed. And I didn't know how to actually process what I had seen and what I had experienced. I went through the day and I went through almost 50 years without telling anyone what had happened to me. I was locked down for all of those years, not telling what experience or what I had gone through. And it put me in a position where I didn't want to tell that secret because I was embarrassed. I didn't know how to share what I had seen with anyone because I was so young. And having the opportunity to be a co-author in Grief Through His Eyes actually brought my deliverance and freedoms. And my door was unlocked through and by this experience. I've never experienced anything like this. Reading the stories of my co-brothers helped me even more. This book, what I wrote, my wife had never heard these stories because I held it in my heart. I never told anyone. And this book brought freedoms, brought a key that allowed me to be transparent and show what I went through as a kid. And I never want another kid to go through that because nobody knew how to deal with me. Nobody knew how to help me because I didn't even know I needed help. I never want to see another kid turn into a man and be locked down for 50 years.
My God.
Holding pains. Holding things they don't understand, holding things that they didn't know how to process. But now through and by what we've been educated and shown and having this experience, we can show people how they can be free, turn grief around and be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl they're supposed to be in life.
Yes.
This is what this book would do.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
That's beautiful. And I do hope that some of the younger men are reading this. So like you said, so they don't have to hold on to this grief and trying to figure things out, you know, all their life until they 50 or 60 and finally getting it. You know what I'm saying? Finally getting the help they need. You want to try to get a hold to them early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. Let's see. Thank you for that. Thank you for being transparent. And thank you for, you guys, you know, the emotions. I could feel it. I'm an energy person. I can feel the energy in this room. It's nothing but love.
It's wonderful.
Yes. Wonderful. So we have someone. Let me see who we have. Someone trying to get in the room.
I think it's Michael. It's another Michael.
Okay, Michael Nobles. Welcome to Snails.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, Michael. Snails with No Shells. I'm Ms. BJ Martin. I'm happy to have you in the room.
How you doing, Ms. Martin? Thanks for having me.
I am great. Thank you. I'm honored. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mike Nobles, graduate of NSU, for all the green and gold out there, behold. And I'm one of the co-authors of Grief Through His Eyes.
Okay. So, I mean, you're up. It's your turn. Everybody else spoke about their chapter. They'll tell us a little about themselves. So it's your turn. Tell us about your chapter.
Oh, my chapter is called Father, Uncle. And, you know, every time I say that chapter name, people get a little like, they get their eyebrows raised up a little bit like, what is that? Mm-hmm. So really, my chapter is about me growing up, you know, not really having a father figure where my actual biological father wasn't around. And I called it Father Uncle because it's more like he's when he did come around, very few in between, it was more like he's a distant uncle that I would see every now and then. And then my chapter is basically a little story about how we got into it a couple of times as I was growing up. But then by the end of the chapter, you see that we kind of hash things out a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Nice. I love it. I love it. And yes, I do. Everyone's chapter is so different. And that's the thing about anthologies. And I push them. Like, if you can ever get an opportunity and someone invites you to do an anthology, get on board, do it, because look at all this in the room. Look at, you get to learn things about people and you have an appreciation maybe for your own life. When you hear someone else's story, you like, well, I was tripping for nothing, or it was a big deal. And someone next to you might be going through something so much worse than you.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to find out about other people and their lives. And then the networking, you know, you get to meet new people, you know, see new faces, and you don't know who's doing what, you know. I met Deborah in an anthology, two anthologies that we've actually done, and we are Amazon bestsellers.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what happens from that. You build a relationship, you build connectivity, you build collaboration, and it allows you to get into a room that you would not have been able to get into by yourself. But Jelante, you ready to go, son? I know you. Okay. All right. So it allows you to get into a room that you normally would not get into by yourself. So that is why it is so important to get into anthologies, give yourself a chance to tell your story. And that's why this book is so phenomenal, because we have 14 different men, but yet we came together to talk about the same subject. And although it gives 14 different stories, it can give the same deliverance of hope and assurance and some coping skills. And it also put you in a group to know that you're more alike than you are disalike. So it gives you so many advantages to read up on something that nobody wants to talk about. And it is grief through his eyes.
I love it. Well, yes. Okay, you guys want to take a pause for the cause? I got to give a shout out to our sponsor of this episode. We are back, and Joy Comes in the Morning. That is an anthology that Deborah and I are a part of. I'm excited. And all those commercials and all that, that's something else that I do. I put together those commercials for people's businesses and their anthology or whatever projects they have coming up. I do that as well. So, all right. So this is the second part of our show. Everyone, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about this amazing book right here. It's called Grief Through His Eyes. And these beautiful men you see on my panel, they are the co-authors of this amazing book. And Deborah Juniper Fry is the visionary. Grief Through His Eyes. All right. So on this part of the show, I just want everyone just to think about just maybe giving, you know, someone in the audience just a nugget, you know, a nugget or maybe a quote that you live by or something that touched your heart. Just, you know, just leave them with something to think about or something you want to share. Who would like to go first?
Oh, I guess I'll go first. I'm Michael Noble speaking.
Okay.
Well, dealing with my chapter, all I can say is, and I said this before, to anybody that's a parent or an aspiring parent, just make sure that you're in your child's lives. No matter what you're going through, it's not that child's fault. Just stay with them, try to be with them, and try to work through it. That's my little nugget.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that's a huge nugget. That's a huge nugget. Yes, we all need to hear that. And we don't hear that enough. Let's hear it every day. I love it. All right, Jelante.
Piggyback off of him for those kids or adults or whoever you are who if you don't have your father or mother, whoever it is in your life, focus your anger, because that period of grief of anger could be so long. Like me, I talk about a stage where I was mad at the world. I was essentially mad because I was growing up without a father, but I started being mad at some of my friends and acting out in school because I just wanted to be mad. And it wasn't until I was older until I could cope and focus my anger and say, okay, who am I mad at? And I focus it. It was because I didn't have a father, and I was mad at what happened. And I focused in on that, and I came to terms with it, and it helped me grow through that grief a little faster. So I would try to just, you know, give that nugget, focus your anger, and try not to be mad at the world like I was.
I love it.
Very good.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Okay, if I could jump in real quick, I'll say that just sitting here thinking about the chapter that I was blessed to write, thinking about what experience I had, especially, as I stated earlier, on the other side of the bridge. On the other side of that bridge were, was considered the section, the white section, predominantly white. But we had to go to school on that side, and never had a problem with people. But I had a problem with what happened to me. And so as a result, I had to come to grips, even writing this chapter, I had to come to grips with who I am mad at, who I was angry with, mm-hmm. And the reason I had the grief and pain that I grew to come to some point understand. And so if I was to try to encourage someone at this point, I would have to say to them, think about what it is you're mad about, what it is that caused that grief, and deal with it in that aspect. I had to come to that I can't find the person who done such evil to me at 9 years old. I can't find them. I don't know where that person is. But what I have to do now is be encouraged at the fact that I've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to grow in your grief. And that's what I've learned, to grow in my grief.
Find
the good elements, you know, that you can use to grow. And sometimes in your grief, you have to find a moment to laugh. Mm-hmm. That laughter does you good as medicine. It does allow for you to overcome moments, even when you don't think you can. So I've had to find those moments. I had to laugh when I thought about, I would really want to just grab hold to that person by the neck and just squeeze him until he turns red. But
don't hurt nobody, David.
The proper outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, in grief takes, that's why it's called anguish, because anguish is actually a deep depression. Mm-hmm. That's what the you know, the explanation for that word is when you look it up, is a deep depression. And I felt that, but I had to come to the place where I can laugh. And now, nearly 40 years gone by, I can't take it out on a person that was not the same color as me, even though that person did it to me. Mm-hmm. Now I have to just laugh, you know, to keep responding how I feel when I feel angry at that situation. So that's what I've had to learn to do. And I would share that with anyone. Learn to laugh at some things, you know, clear your space by laughing. Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I would say I've been to several conferences, men conferences, and they would always talk about having an accountability partner. And I actually, you know, for the first time, I've had one. The last men's meeting I went to was 5 years ago, and this brother came up to me in church and said, let's be accountable to one another. Mm-hmm. And I will say to men, I mean, don't isolate yourself. Really get an accountability. Get a friend, your best friend, a pastor, a coach, someone that you will you trust, someone that's not going to look at you strange or funny. You share something with them. But I would just say, man, find someone, a prayer partner, someone you can pray with, someone you can agree with, someone you can be real with. And also, I would say something I quoted in the book, T.D. Jakes' quote, and said, it's not what, because we went through loss, several losses. It's not what you lost, but it's what you have left. And that was a trajectory change for me when we were going through loss, when we lost income, it was six figures. I mean, it changed everything. And when I began to think about what I had left and I wrote down what I had left, that changed my whole perspective on what I was going through in the loss.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Michael Baker.
If I would share anything with anyone, because grief seems like it brings so much stress sometimes, I like turning certain things around. And you know, when you take the word stress and you turn it around, it turns into something very sweet. It turns into the word desserts. Just like that, I said, I'm gonna turn grief around. And I did an acrostic in the book. And when I turned grief around, I had to find, embrace, invite, release, and God. And when I, just like Alex was saying, you know, I had to find somebody that I could be accountable to. Mm-hmm. I had to embrace, this is where I am, and this is what's going on in my life. And I had to invite the right positive people into my life, and that's what everybody needs to do. And once they invite the right people in their lives, they can start to release for mm-hmm. their peace. And God, which is the G in grief, God will have and can have the preeminence in your life. That's how I turned grief around. I released for my peace.
This is some good stuff.
Oh my God.
Can I say one other thing? When I release a writing, a journal, help me out. There were times the pressure was just so great. And I begin to write down my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think a person that's about to end it all, if they just can write down their thoughts and then read what they wrote mm-hmm. and hear yourself say it.
Yes.
The answers are on the inside of us already.
Absolutely.
Really, they're really on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I would say, write, get a journal and write down your thoughts daily.
Yes.
That's really awesome. Helps.
Yes, that's some good stuff. Let's normalize men journaling. Men journal. How about men journal too?
Yeah.
Let's get the t-shirts going. Yeah. Okay. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
It's so therapeutic. And
yes.
It saves your life. Yeah.
This is so good.
And I love the desserts. Look, I wrote it down. Like, let me see.
It's in the book. It's in the book. Yeah.
I love it. I said, oh my gosh, stress reverse.
That's amazing. Amazing. All of them have done a fantastic job writing their chapter. You're going to enjoy the book when you read it, BJ. You really are.
Yes.
You really are. I'm so happy that they all said yes.
Yes, me too. I am too. And Lawrence, you didn't go.
Well, if I had to encourage someone, and I have unknowingly, I always learn to tell people to find the lesson. Although we've experienced grief, but somewhere along the line, there's a lesson. I always believed, and I've witnessed it myself, that there's always that little voice in your head that no matter what it is I've gone through, and no matter how dark of a space I had been in, I've always heard that voice that always told me, you all right, you're going to be all right. Even when I wanted to quit, and knowing me, and quit has never been in my blood, I always heard that voice that said, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be all right. So as with Dr. Potts, laughter, that's my coping mechanism. That's my joy is seeing people smile, making people laugh. Every morning when I come to work, you know, people say good morning, have a good day, and my response is I plan on it. No, I'm going to have a good day, that's regardless, right. Because either way I go, I'm going home. I'm going home. I don't care what kind of day I'm having. I'm going to the house, and they know it. Yeah. So people come into my office and they sit and talk with me because I work in a felony criminal courthouse, so there's a lot of stress in there.
Yeah.
But they come in and we can talk. And since those that have purchased my book kind of now I can see that vibe that they don't know how to address me because I'm still this individual that still likes to make people smile and laugh. So I always tell people, listen, no matter what it is you go through, you won't be all right. You're going to be just fine. Just find the lesson. Find the lesson. There is a lesson. And I ain't going to lie to you. I'm still looking for mine and I'm still looking for purpose. But if I can help you get there, if I can help you along the way and push you further than I may have gone, then that makes my day. That I'm great because it takes the grief or it takes the sadness from me. And I'd rather see other people smile no matter how I'm feeling, because it gives me joy to see others smile.
Yes, I love that. And you know what? That's my thing. Learn how to laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'll laugh at you. I ain't got no problem.
Yeah, right, right. So once you can laugh at yourself, then that gives you permission. You can laugh at anybody you want to.
Right.
Laugh at yourself, you know, and it's so healing. You know, I done tripped up steps. I'm cracking up laughing. I laugh at myself all the time. It feels good. It does. It's very therapeutic, very healing.
Yes, that's awesome.
Laugh at yourself. Yes. I love it. This has been amazing. Oh, I see one more. I got to get him in here, you guys.
Okay.
Yes, one more person. I want everybody to get a chance to
awesome.
Tell their story. Yes. All right. As we're ending the show, come on, let me see who we got. Sean.
Well, Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
What's up, bro?
Great. How are you?
I'm good.
Perfect timing. Yes, come on in the room, Sean. I'm Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snail with No Tails.
Good evening.
So go ahead.
My apologies for being late. I am just getting back countryside. My wife and I just celebrated our 15th anniversary. So
awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. We went to the Dominican Republic, so we just got back, and I'm still trying to get back. So my apologies for my lateness. Please charge it to my head and not to my heart. It is an honor and a privilege to be here to share this platform with my brothers. Good evening, Deborah. Good evening to my hosts. And I'm just excited to be here.
Awesome.
All right. So it's on you, Sean. Everybody told us a little about themselves, talked about their chapter in their book.
Wow.
Yeah,
my chapter, how interesting. I'm the last one to come on. Because I'm actually the last chapter in the book, which is chapter 14.
Oh, wow.
And so it's ironic that I came on last and my chapter is the last chapter in the book. The chapter is called Finally I Can Live Again. And I pick up from a scenario where my divorce is final. And now we're going through the custody and visitation battle. And I just found out that I lost custody of my two children. As far as joint custody, we had an agreement that was basically terminated by the judge. And so I basically walked the reader through the guilty verdict of, and then share with the reader the other side that they usually don't hear from. Pertaining to the parent, usually you hear one side of a story from one parent as it pertains to custody, visitation, etc. But I actually let you see that the other parent also has a story and a side too. Mm-hmm. And so I walk the reader through the guilty verdict, the sentencing, and then the result. And I don't want to tell what the result was, but you'll see that in the chapter. And then from that verdict, I actually share my my pain of not having the opportunity to see two children that I was accustomed to seeing every day. And so then starting the healing process. And so this particular chapter allowed me to tap into an area that is not really talked about a lot. We hear about stories of men who may not be there, but we only hear one side. They're often labeled as a deadbeat. You know, sometimes they even given a sperm donor title, et cetera. But that other parent has a story as well. And sometimes the picture that's being painted is not the correct adaptation of the story. And so God allowed me to share an open wound during my process of healing and allowed me to see how I came out on the other side and then share my story to hopefully inspire other men who are either going through this process, may go through this process, and how to help them in there.
Wow. I love that. We get to hear from the man's point of view, your perspective. I love that.
Yes. Awesome.
I do. Okay. So while we have you, Sean, give us a nugget or a quote or something that you would like to share with the audience.
Sure. I want to let you know that your story does not dictate your destiny. A lot of times we have a story. Sometimes we're scared to share our story. And we have to realize that our past does not segue or does not define us. Our past is just a part of who we are. And so if I could share with someone, the Bible says it this way, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But we don't realize that there are going to be some times where we're going to go through some things that are probably catastrophic to us. But we can't let our past define where our final destination is going to be. And so if I could leave that with somebody, please note that it's not about your race, creed, color, or economic background, but it is about your purpose. And just because you have some detours along the way, sometimes you might get knocked down, but don't stay down. And just realize that in the end, you're going to come out better than you did when you went through. And so I can say this now on the other side, that it was worth it all to go through, to give somebody hope, to give somebody encouragement, and most importantly, to let them know that their story is what can help somebody else on the other side.
That's outstanding.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh. I hope they're taking some good notes while you're watching this interview this evening. Wow, that's an amazing way to end the day, right? Yes. We started out powerful, ended it powerful. I love it. Thank you, Sean. Thank you so much for sharing your story and being transparent. Like I've said to each of you, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show and just sharing your story. And it's 14 chapters, and you're going to change and save 14 million lives. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like the queen, Deborah, do you have any final remarks before we go?
Man, I tell you, the guys, they just, I mean, I know their stories. I've read their stories, but just listening to them tell their stories, it doesn't matter how many times they say their story, it is always heart pulling. It is always, it makes me tear up. It just makes me emotional because I can feel their passion. I can feel their energy. I can feel how, like Michael said, his door was unlocked. You know, how Michael Noble say, you know, stay as a young father, stay close to your children. So the stories, they just radiate into your soul when you hear them. So I would tell people, go out and get the book. If you know the author directly, get the books from them, of course, because it is 14 amazing stories. It is 14 amazing reads, and you will get 14 wonderful pieces of nuggets. So get the book, Grief Through His Eyes, because it is an anthology that I don't think is out there, because I looked for it before I put it out there, and I have not seen one where everyone is male, they are speaking about the same subject, and they're able to encourage the world. And that is what we're doing with this book, One Family, One Life, One Child at a Time.
Yes, I love that. And I commend the beautiful men in the room for, you know, just taking instruction in a sense from Deborah. You know what I'm saying? That says a lot about who you are as a man and what you believe in and what you support, you know, and who you support. And I love that. I love it. I love that. And I just love the love that's in the room and the support. I can feel it. And I know doing this project, being a part of this anthology, had to have been an amazing experience. And I already know it was because Deborah is amazing.
Oh, bless you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, she has
We had a great time together.
Yes. And she has a light in her that extends across the world. I know she does. So I know everybody got a chance to get a little bit of that light. Yeah, that light. All right. Well, again, yes, thank you, all, Snails. I appreciate you all coming. And like I said, being transparent and showing up not only for yourselves, but for others.
Yes.
I think that's beautiful. And before we go, what I would like to say is I'm on Instagram. And Deborah, we need to get your information too. MS_BJ Martin. I'm on Facebook, BJ Martin. I'm on Snails and No Shells. It's on Spotify. We're on Anchor, Apple, Google. We are all across the digital board. So everyone's going to hear this. Everyone's going to see this. I'm so excited. Make sure you share. Okay, let's spread the word because people need to know what's going on, right? They need to know.
That's awesome.
Yes, Deborah, what are your handles so we can people?
My website, you can go to griefcareconsulting.com and Facebook, Deborah Fry. Same for LinkedIn, Deborah Fry. IG, I am Grief Care Consulting as well. So you can get me there. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you again for everyone coming. And before I go, I would like to leave is remember, just like the sun, you are necessary. I love y'all.
Peace. Bye-bye.